Good morning to each one. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a pleasure for us to be with you all this morning. I think it's been a few years probably since we were down here. Seems like we should get down here a little more often than what we do, but time has a way of getting away from us. So Earl asked me to have a message for you all, and sometime in January, well, most of you all probably know we actually plan to move here in January to Vermont. So I just thought I might say that right up front. A lot of people have been asking me, so we plan to move the third week of January here, so we have about two more weeks yet until we'll be gone. So we're looking forward to that. We are looking forward to it, but we have a little bit of, mixed feelings, a little bit of trepidation. We like it here where we are, but we're looking forward to following God's lead to where he's called us to. Looking forward to moving to Vermont and helping out with the Outreach Church up there. So you can pray for us as we do that. That's something that we're looking forward to. And trust that God has a work for us to do there. We want to be open to whatever his calling is in our lives. For a title this morning, let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. For my message, I wanted to look at the fifth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Why don't we, before we get started, why don't we all stand and bow our heads, we'll have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning that we can come together as believers, knowing that our sins are forgiven. Thank you that you have washed us as we look at the snow. You have made us whiter than the snow. Thank you for that this morning. I pray that you would be with each one of us as we have gathered here. Pray that you would give us a word from you that each one of us could go home challenged and edified, and we would grow closer to you and the things that you would have for us this morning. Bless each one, be with my lips as I speak. Pray that I would only say the things that you asked me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. That will be my title. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So as I look at this verse, there's this phrase in here that it's like a promise. It says that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And I was trying to decide, is that a promise or is that a principle? And I'm not sure, because if you look later in Ephesians 6, it says it's the first commandment with promise. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So is it a promise or is it a principle? Well, I'm not going to try to answer that question. I think it's both, because I do believe that somebody that honors their parents, things can happen that are out of control that could take their life early. But in general, that's a principle that if you honor your parents, and God will give you, if you honor your parents, God will give you a good life and long days. Now, before I get too deep into this, I wanted to mention that there's a difference between honoring your parents and obeying your parents. In Ephesians, we'll see that children are supposed to obey their parents. And I guess I'll leave it up to you to decide when the time comes that you're no longer a child. There's some things that give us some clues. In Genesis 2:24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they are one flesh. So there does come a time when there's a leaving of father and mother, and there is no longer the need for that, you know, son, take out the trash, son, wash the dishes, daughter, clean your room, those types of things. There's also, in 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, when I was a child, this is Paul, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there clearly comes a time when you are no longer a child. Now we are always the children of our parents, but there's a little bit of a difference there from being a child and being the children of your parents. So I'm not going to look so much at the children obeying your parents. However, children, the way you can honor your parents, if you're here as a child and you still think as a child and you understand as a child, the best way you can honor your parents is to obey your parents. And the best way to honor God is to obey your parents. So if you look at the authority structure in Ephesians, we have God and we have man and we have woman, and then of course we have children. And so God speaks to the children through their parents many times. So children, obey your parents. Kendrick, obey Josh. Obey your dad. And that's important for all of us as children. If we're here as a child, we still understand as a child, that's how we honor our parents. However, I'm going to speak to those of you that are no longer under your mom and dad in that way. We need to still honor our parents. And some of us have had parents that have done well and have taught us well and have given us a very good childhood and a good upbringing. Some of us have not had that. Some of us, maybe there was a parent missing in the home or an abusive parent or you name it. There's all different scenarios out there. We're still called to honor our parents regardless of what situation we find ourselves in. And I think we'll find that there's a blessing in that. Even if we have parents that are not the type of parents that we just easily honor, we can still find a blessing in obeying God in this commandment. So honor thy father and thy mother. Let's turn to Exodus 21:15. I just want to take a look at a number of verses here that speak to this subject. 21 verse 15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And verse 17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So we see that this commandment that God has commanded us to Moses on Mount Sinai when he was writing the Ten Commandments, this is no small deal. This is something that is worthy of death. If you smite or curse your father or mother, that's the opposite of honoring. Leviticus 19, verse 3. We can turn there. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 5:16. And I'm just going to move through. You don't have to turn to all of these, but I'm going to just move through and pull out a number of different verses here. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And once again, he's just repeating what God had said when he wrote the Ten Commandments there in the mountain. Verse 33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye possess. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. This is speaking more to the younger children again. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You see the severity of disobedience and dishonoring your parents. And the thing I wanted to point out here is that this is in the Old Testament where they commanded the parents to throw stones at the son and also the community. A sin against your father and mother, a dishonor for your parents, is not only a dishonor to them, but it's a dishonor to your community. And in our case, where we are part of a congregation, a church, and a part of a group of churches, it is a dishonor to our church and our group of churches that we are part of. And if we turn backwards to Deuteronomy 13, verse 6, this is a similar account. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or wife of thy bosom, or thy friend which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him, to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones, that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among you. Now, this isn't necessarily speaking of dishonoring parents, but it's speaking of sin in the camp and how it's supposed to be dealt with, which is dealt with the same way as a dishonor to parents. We live in times where sin is no longer as exceeding sinful as it once used to be. We get conditioned by the regular sin around us that we see, and we start to water down how severe sin is. And the sin of dishonoring parents is a severe sin. Now, thankfully, we do not live in the Old Testament. There is a second chance. We're not here to say that we should stone our sons and our daughters if they are disrespectful or rebellious. That was commanded for the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. But the heart of God in the Old Testament is the same as the heart of God in the New Testament, that we cannot have these things among us. These things must be dealt with. In 1 Samuel 15:23, we don't have to turn there. It says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That was Samuel speaking to Saul. But the same could be applied to parents and children. Okay, let's move on. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Proverbs 1, verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. And chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep my father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And we'll leave off there. So as children grow into adults, and they remember the things that their parents have taught them, those are things that the Proverbs writer here is commanding that we bind them upon our heart and tie them about thy neck. In chapter 7, it talks about In verse 3, it says, bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. If you bind something on your finger, you might forget about it, but when you go to use your hands and you see it there again, it'll remind you, oh, what's this thing on my finger for? It's a reminder of what our parents have taught us. If we write them on the tables of our heart, it's etched into stone. Does it change if it's etched into stone? If it's written in the tables of our heart, it gives the picture of the finger of God writing on the Ten Commandments, writing the Ten Commandments on those tables of stone. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Once you're dead and gone, those things will still be written deep in your heart, and the generations following you will follow them. So the things that our parents have commanded us and taught us as a young child, they go with us even into our adult years. And if we write them on the tables of our hearts, we can teach our children, and they can teach theirs, and it can go on for generations. We could also pull out of these verses that us as fathers need to have instructions for our sons, and us as mothers need to have a law that our children, says the instruction of a father and the law of a mother. Do our mothers have laws that our children know? And do our children know what's expected of them? Let's move on to chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. He that chaseth away, or he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother, is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. There's no blessing in wasting your parents. It causes shame and bringeth reproach to you and your parents. Turn to chapter 23, verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Do you want your father and mother to be glad and rejoice? We need to be filled with wisdom, and we will give our parents joy. Proverbs 28:24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. And Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now it makes me think of a story when I was in school. There was a young man I went to school with every day for several years, that he had good parents, he had well-meaning parents. I'm not sure if his parents always did the right thing, but I think they had a good heart for him. And he chose the rebellious road, and he was a very likable kind of a person, but he did things that were always against the wishes of his parents. He was always causing trouble at school, and I remember my school teacher, one of them, spending hours and hours sitting in the talkway just trying to get his heart and trying to plead with him that there is a better way and you need to give up your sin and repent. And I don't know how all those conversations went, but knowing the school teacher, I'm sure it was a very heartfelt and meaningful conversation. However, this young man continued to go on his path of rebellion and wasn't too many years later that he had a motorcycle. And it seemed like one motorcycle led to another. And it wasn't too many years later that we got the news that he passed away in a single car or single vehicle motorcycle accident. And what a shame and reproach to his father and mother when so many people, his parents and his school teachers and his friends, many of us had tried to talk with him, some of us sent him letters, and yet he continued to go his own way, and then one day it's all over. His life was short. I thought that was an example of a person that does not obey, the opposite of the person that honors their father and mother will also have a short life. And that's also just a principle. It's not a guarantee that your life will be shortened. But there was a clear example, and I could think of others that were very similar to that, where they disrespected their mothers, they disrespected their fathers, they disregarded their church, and one day they find themselves in destruction. And it's an early destruction, it's untimely death. And those are principles that we need to remember, that as people, the people of God, we need to honor our parents. There is wisdom there. Proverbs 30, verse 11, we're still there in Proverbs 30. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. And it goes on, let's go to verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. The eye that mocketh his father and despiseth his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Do you want the ravens and the eagles to pick your eye out? I think sometimes when we get onto a path of dishonor and disrespect for our parents, eventually our eye is blinded to what is even happening. We don't even realize that we are dishonoring because we've gotten so used to it. And you could take this verse two ways. You could take it that way, that we no longer can see our own sin. Or you could take it that more literal, if you have an untimely death, that the eagles will pick your eye out, which I don't believe that would probably happen to most of us. But the concept is true, that we can soon be blinded to our own sin and how serious it is. Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Let's turn there. Mark 7, verse 6. This is Jesus here dialoguing with the Pharisees. It says, he answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold to the tradition of men, as washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. So as a parent ages, they become more work, if we could say it that way. And it's as the children of our parents, it's our responsibility as we take on the responsibilities of life to see to it that our parents have their needs taken care of. And what's going on here, what I believe is happening here, is that they could disregard their parents. The Pharisees were making laws that the children could disregard their parents. And if they said, if they say to his father or mother, it is Corban, which I don't quite understand what all that exactly means, but somehow in their time, that was a release of their responsibility to their parents. And it was a teaching that was coming in among the Pharisees. And it was wrong. It was just simply wrong. But they were doing it for their own benefits. So they weren't obligated to their parents. And Jesus said to them, it says this makes the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and it pretty much renders your whole gospel useless because you take and you pick and choose what you want to believe. And this is one thing that Jesus pointed out to them. Let's turn back to Matthew 8, verse 5 to 13. Okay, now this is getting back a little bit into the authority structure we talked about earlier, where we have God over the man, and then the man over the wife, and the wife over the children. And that is something that we need to understand as we look at this whole thing. And here's a little story I wanted to pull out. Let's start in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. Now, we have to keep in mind who this man is, who this centurion actually is. He is a man that is part of, he's like a Roman soldier that is in a position of authority where he has men, he's under authority, but he also has men under him that he can command, and they do exactly what he says. So this is no poor beggar along the street. This is a man that has power and authority, and he somehow recognizes Jesus as having more power than he does in the area of healing. And he comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to heal his servant that's sick. And Jesus says he'll come. But the man says I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Even though he's a man under authority, he recognizes that Jesus' authority is even greater than his. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And we know then that his servant was healed. So Jesus called it great faith for this centurion to understand this whole authority thing. And because he understood the authority, that Jesus had more authority over him, because that was all in place, this man had great faith. And because of that faith, his servant was healed. And so let's not underestimate the importance of understanding the authority structure of our parents and God and all those things. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. I want to bring this verse in just for a little bit of balance here. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, as we honor our parents, there may come a time where certain people might need to just forsake their parents for the sake of Christ's sake and the gospel. And that does not mean dishonor your parents. If your parents are causing you to sin or causing trouble, there may come a time where it is right to put some distance between you and your parents for the sake of the gospel. Now, that generally should be done with very much care and with much counsel, No, you wouldn't want to dishonor your parents in any way. But if it when it does become necessary, there does come a time when if parents are unbelieving, that you may need to put some distance between you and them. There can also be the problem of loving our parents or having a relationship with our parents that is so strong that it hinders us from doing the work of God. And we don't want to allow our parents to hold us back from doing the thing that God would have us to do, whatever God would call us to do. Some parents want to hang on to their children, make them all be real close, and that's not a bad desire, but it's okay for parents to also be willing to let go and allow their children to move out and get married and move to a different part. But those things all must be done carefully, that we're not trying to disrespect or dishonor our parents in those things. One example I can think of in the Bible is Ruth. When she married and her husband died, and her mother-in-law, Naomi, told her to go back to the country that she came from. And the people that she came from were not God-fearing people. And for the sake of Christ, at that time Christ had not come yet, but the principle is still there. For the sake of living for the people of God, living with the people of God, she left her earthly mother and her earthly home for the sake of living with the people of God. And of course we see how that God blessed that. God did bless that, because she then did come into the lineage of Christ. All right, let's look at one more example here. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 16. Okay, without getting into all of this, well, we'll read verse 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." So Saul is asking for David to come and we'll just keep reading. Jesse took an ass laden with the bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came unto Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly and became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So here's David. He was asked by Saul to come live with Saul. I'm sure Saul lived in a palace or some place that was very nice, much nicer than being out in the hills watching sheep. But then later we'll see the whole story of the battle with the Philistines comes right in there. And the whole thing with Goliath and that whole story. When that whole army, that war broke out, it says in verse 13, it says, "And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his three sons," jump down to verse 14, "and David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." The point I wanted to bring out there was probably nothing real exciting about feeding sheep. Feeding his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David was in the house of Saul. David understood about being armor bearer and those kinds of things, but when it actually came down to the time of the battle, David apparently was not the one to go to battle. He was apparently too young, and so he was sent back home to feed his father's sheep. And I don't know how old he was, but he was probably at that age where, you know, he had older brothers, he looked up to his older brothers, and he wanted to be with them, and he wanted to be part of this army and part of this battle. But he went home and honored his father by taking care of the sheep. I think there's a lesson we can learn in that, that we can lay down what we want and be willing to do the lowly work. Also, one last one in 1 Samuel 22, verse 3. It's another one with David here. This is after he kills Goliath, and Saul is now chasing him through the rocks and through the desert and all this. He has a hard life. Verse 3, it says, David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. This is where David was fleeing Saul, and he was concerned about what would happen to his parents. And so he went to the king of Moab. And he negotiated some kind of arrangement there that his parents could stay there and have a safe place away from Saul. And obviously Saul was not after David's parents, but because of what was going on there, David was concerned for his parents. And so he made arrangements for them to have a safe place. So that's what I have for us this morning. I trust that we can all, as we look at the situations we find ourselves in, whether we are parents, whether we are the children of we are all children of our parents. Some of us are not parents yet, and some of us are still little children. That we would, as little children, obey our parents. Those of us that are no longer in the children category, but we are adults and we are trying to find our way here on this earth and living for Christ, that we would find ways that we can honor our parents. If we have aging parents, there may come a time where we do need to find help for them. But let's all do what we can to honor our parents and lift up the name of Christ through doing that. Because as we see in the Old Testament, I don't believe God's heart is any different today, that we would honor our parents in the Old Testament. He mentioned how it was worthy of death for you to dishonor your parents. Let's not forget the severity of that. So I'll leave off with that. May God bless you.